I know, put the name and so forth. I'm talking to Mr. Edward Jackson, 608 9th Street, concerning the Charlottesville Oral History Project. Okay, my first question is, how long did you live in the Vinegar Hill area?
50 years.
Mm-hmm. You were born there and so forth and so on?
I was born over where Lane High School is. Mm-hmm. Today, Grove mm-hmm. Street, about 20 Grove Street. Mm-hmm. But family had considerable property mm-hmm. in the Vinegar Hill area mm-hmm. that was taken. Mm-hmm. And I stated why, basically, the reason it was taken because the university in downtown didn't want to have to come through the black community to get to and fro the two places. Mm-hmm. And there were some fairly nice black businesses that existed, mm-hmm. Such things as cleaning and pressing establishments, shoe shops, barber shop, beauty parlors, insurance company, mm-hmm. Grocery stores. There were two. Mm-hmm. And I think that was about the giving you just a rundown of pipe businesses mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Some total out was at 20 businesses at the peak, mm-hmm. at least that many.
So a lot of your relatives lived in the Vinegar Hill area? Mm-hmm. Or, you know,
well, we grew up Star Hill neighborhood, mm-hmm. 6 feet there. Mm-hmm. My sister's still there, mm-hmm. And brother. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stunts are all Vinegar Hill.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me a second, you said the peak. What would you consider the peak of Vinegar Hill?
Mm-hmm. Well, back in the 40s, you know, early 40s, late 30s and mm-hmm. early 40s.
Okay, now you said your sister's still there, around the 6th Street area?
Yeah, she's still there. Mm-hmm.
So is this where you moved afterwards, or
was it? Yes, about 7 years ago I moved over, uh-huh. over here, you know. Mm-hmm.
So when you did move, okay, so did they appropriate your money to move and stuff like that sort of thing, or did you just move?
I do most of my own construction, mm-hmm. and I built a couple other places over here, so I decided to move in here. I hadn't even finished the place. Uh-huh. I understand that.
Did you or any others that you could name have any official or unofficial role in this plan that they had over in Vinegar Hill? Were there any committees or other, you know, or otherwise that you knew of, with people that you knew on that were helping to get this move made?
No, the Gene Arrington, mm-hmm. who came into Charlottesville around that time with the director HUD, located in Charlottesville, he did most of the legwork in contacting property owners and about negotiating prices, which I might add that they paid very low prices for it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel, I know we didn't get mm-hmm. what the property should have.
Yeah,
brought,
I've heard other people say that also.
And another thing they had said, and I happen to be one that was never approached, they said that after they had bought up the property and pieced it together for development, mm-hmm. That they would give the property owners first refusal on buyback. Mm-hmm. And of course, I never heard anything where they offered anybody mm-hmm. any of the land back. Mm-hmm. I know I wouldn't approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you prefer this area to maybe where you live? Like, what part of Vinegar Hill did you live? You said you live around the 60th
area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's up one block above Jefferson School there.
You prefer this better? This area better, or mm. were they about the same, or could you say?
Well, they're about the same. Mm-hmm. I had lived there so long, mm-hmm. I really still more or less prefer
mm-hmm.
over there because it's so convenient, you
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically it's about the same.
Mm-hmm.
But we could very easily walk block away to the bus station or the train station or this type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so you were saying that, of course, they did offer the other people lower prices. You offered most people lower prices than what they deserved for.
I think so. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I could go back and get prices to what they offered.
Mm-hmm.
They took about 20 pieces of property from us
mm-hmm.
in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And was inflation is not like it is now. So
of course not.
but I still think it was very, very low prices.
Okay, you already answered my next question about convenience. As far as your relatives concerned, how far back can you remember them being here? Were your relatives in this area a long time, or have they been in this area a long time?
Ever since I can remember, of course. And the business that this is another business that was more or less taken from me. The sign business, outdoor advertising,
uh-huh.
and that was a great uncle who started that business, better than 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father worked in it, and until he passed, he was 84.
Mm-hmm.
So he had been here all of his life, and because he's been dead now 8 years, so.
Mm-hmm.
That would get up to about 92 years.
Mm-hmm.
That he was, in the area.
Mm-hmm.
84 plus, I'm adding the 8. So they have been here for quite some time.
Okay.
My grandmother, my grandfather were school teachers in the area for years, a number of years.
Mm-hmm. So can you, since they were school teachers in the area for a number of years, can you tell me a little bit about the schools? Was it Lane or was it Jefferson that was what went only to the 8th grade or something like that for a while, or was it?
Mm. No, now you were a little during my time.
Mm-hmm.
We had the elementary school, which has been torn down now,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that was over on the 4th Street side,
mm-hmm.
and that went to the 5th grade, and you came over to walk across to the other building,
uh-huh.
which went 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Uh-huh.
See, we didn't have an 11th grade
uh-huh.
instead of the 12th
uh-huh.
today.
Uh-huh.
But you'd have to go back and talk now. Mr. Inge could tell you
uh-huh.
More about that first hand because he left here at whatever, I think it was 8th grade, and he went down to Antonis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm sure he played
that. Mm-hmm.
But that was a little ahead of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm, be 58 this month.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So you said, you've already said before that you had somewhat of a sign business and you contracted one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything else? So you contracted and the sign business, you worked out of a place on Vinegar Hill or?
Still work from over at 6th Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We had the basement as a sign shop.
Mm-hmm.
We still do a little bit of it. They have it to the point that it isn't very profitable to be engaged in a business.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a profitable business for a number of years.
Why do you think that is?
Well, a lot of reasons. I don't think any of us can say
mm-hmm.
all together what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Lady Bird Johnson introduced the highway beautification bill.
Mm-hmm.
And this was to beautify everything in Alma County, and Charles has been very speak of her plight as far as the government of her area. Alma County has been a little stricter than a lot of the areas, now Richmond and all of the topwater there. Still, now Williamsburg was very hard on them. Yeah, they knocked them all out down there. But then, too, you have to get to the crux of it, at the bottom of it, and you'll find that your competitors a lot of time. Outdoor was a very cheap media. And it just so happens that we were a black family that had been in it for years. Mm-hmm. And we don't put it as a racial thing so much. But the other medias, you know, radio, television, whatnot, they don't want a threat. So a lot of times it's big money that helps put you out in the
city. Yeah. Okay, so during this time, the other neighborhoods in this that you can think of were Vinegar Hill, Star Hill. Can you think of anything else? Do you remember mentioning something called Coxwell?
That's where West Haven is today, they were very run down and dilapidated in that area, and that did offer decent house. And of course, the funny part about that, a great percentage of the houses were owned by whites in that. Same thing in the Vinegar Hill. We had just finished renovating most of our properties to make them fairly decent rental units, you know, when they took them. But there was some stuff that was very bad, the Hayden's property, other properties like that. I don't know whether you talked to John Tunstall. He lived down in that area. He had just completely remodeled his house. He had a nice place down there when they took that. And he bought on 10th Street after they displaced him from the area.
Was there a fairly large amount of money lost? I mean, like, if you're going to go through the trouble of renovating a place, that seems like you're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, back in that day, it wouldn't cost like what it cost today, you know. By his living there, I think he possibly came out fairly well, you know. And he was able to get this house on 10th Street equally as nice and came out fairly well, I think, you know.
When desegregation move was made, how did people react to that? Did blacks specifically dislike it? Did they have mixed emotions or what?
No, I couldn't say that they disliked it. They wanted integration, I think. It was possibly quite a bit of resentment, maybe, in some of the white communities. I know I was waiting table around the height of the start of the civil rights battles and made very good money doing so, but I finally stopped because the tips fell off and everything else. It was quite obvious they were very upset about it.
How was leisure time spent in the Vinegar Hill area? What places were there? Or if there weren't any places, what in fact could people do with, you know, if they wanted to go out on Saturday night or if they just wanted someplace?
Well, they had a couple of restaurants, as I say. They had a pool room. And on Commerce Street, a fellow Pete Chapman had a little beer garden and whatnot. Nice where they had seating on the outside and what have you. And this was about the limit, you know, as to the outlet for blacks. And then there was Westless on Preston Avenue, that I'm sure you heard about.
I don't believe you hit that one yet.
That's gone now, too. That was across from the Buick place there. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Oddfellows Hall. That's still there, on right around the corner from the Elks Hall. Mm-hmm. That was an outlet for, they had for dances and what have you, record hops they called them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you was getting a little bit into the organization. You were saying you had the Oddfellows Lodge or whatever. Do you remember any more of the organizations that existed at that time? Some Masons.
Well, right, they displaced the Masons, and uh-huh. they were on Benegate Hill,
uh-huh.
and of course they moved over on Forest Street up in that new building after they were displaced there. What else was? Any other club or turn group that was in there other than the Masons? They were.
Mm. Do you know of any reason why they call Benegate Hill Benegate Hill?
That is a history that everybody tells, that back when there were old dirt and brick streets, and keg of vinegar fell off of a horse and wagon and broke, and from that name, from the how you could say aroma of the vinegar, gave it its name.
Is that the only one you've ever heard concerning that?
That's about it.
Because I've heard several people say that also. So it must be something why they don't. What about, do you recall hearing about a mayor of Vinegar Hill?
There's the old fish market man, Beer.
Yeah.
He calls himself the mayor.
He calls himself that. Because I wouldn't, because we asked several people about this. We've asked everyone about this that we've all talked to. And at first we got some, well, people really didn't know. But then they said, yeah, this white man, worked on Vinegar Hill. And I thought that was kind of strange that he would call himself the mayor of Vinegar Hill,
Thing. Well, I think that came about more so in recent years, that they spoke of him as the mayor of Vinegar Hill, and he takes pride in that title today. Mm. But he's a nice, he's a nice Jim, nice old fellow.
Okay, you were saying when you were in Vinegar Hill, there were some black businesses. You patronized them.
Uh-huh.
And what, as far as the white business is concerned, we've already mentioned them. Can you think of others?
Oh, there were a couple of white restaurants in the Vinegar Hill area also.
Mm-hmm.
It was black on barbershop that catered to white trade on the Vinegar Hill area.
Right offhand, do you know the names of any of these barbershops and any of these people who own these barbershops that may still be around there?
Oh yeah, well, like Mr. Pollitt was right in that area where Hinge is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little further east. In fact, where maybe the Jeep General Electric building is there, Ron Martin building.
Mm-hmm.
Pollock was in there, old man Pollock. And of course, there's a family of folks there. Frank and Skinny mm-hmm. Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that they ran a barbershop. And I think old Frank is about pushing, getting up in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He's still living here.
Mm-hmm.
So not too long ago. Ray High School ran the Hampton shop. That was a cleaning press. Collins ran the shoe shop.
Mm-hmm.
Collins shoe shop, that was one of them. Carl Tunsler, well, before Carl Tunsler, my father, they had a great drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
There on Main Street. and that was Dr. Jackson and my father. Oh, several of them. They had formed this investors group, a small corporation. And they had opened, it was a very nice drugstore. So I was quite young back then. Mm-hmm. I don't remember it too well. But then after that failed, my father put in the restaurant, pool room, and beauty parlor upstairs and what have you. Mm-hmm. And then after he let it go, Carl Tunsler, who went in there and was very successful, and made a nice buck. Mm-hmm. Mr. McGinnis had also was another tail shop.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Edwards ran a sort of retail outlet and used clothing and whatnot like this. There was a Southern Aid insurance company that was there. They owned that building, but they had sold it before they took Fenwick Hill to a Mrs. Hudson. Henry Bell was there in recent years. Mm-hmm. He ran a retail store. Of course, you already met Mr. Hinn.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a fella, Carter, that ran a very nice restaurant down there,
mm-hmm.
called Clark Carter. He was a cook on the Sino Railroad, and he opened up a real nice restaurant. Who else? But then they had a guest home
mm-hmm.
across the street that the Fergusons ran, and they weren't related to
George, but Mr. George?
I don't know, they weren't related to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was the Coleses. They were also, he was a builder, and he had his establishment and whatnot down in Finnegan Hill. The mm-hmm. Coles brothers, Will and Charlie Cole. They also had their home was there along with the West's home. And West, the West property is West Haven's named after the West's.
Mm-hmm.
And then in later years, Miss Buicko's opened up a restaurant in that property up just in that area where Rich McIntyre runs, goes down the hill. That's mm-hmm. where they were there. The Coles and the West. They were very, very substantial citizens, mm-hmm. you know, that both of those families.
Mm-hmm. You, have you heard tell of a woman by, that they call Blind Nellie? Do you know exactly who that is? She's supposed to own a great deal of property.
Blind Jenny, you're talking about?
Blind Jenny.
Is
there any
Nellie
in the thing?
It
was. It's Blind Jenny. Because, we didn't know the name. It was just referred to, they said Blind Nellie. Well, this is the name we were given. I'm glad we didn't try to look for
her. I know,
we haven't been able to find anything about her. And that's why
maybe
I asked
that's
us.
Why.
Yeah, that's part of why they got it mixed up. But she's supposed to own a lot of property, a businesswoman and so forth in the area. Is she still around? She's still
mm-hmm.
around?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did she own any businesses or anything, or? Was it just land? Did she own maybe apartments or something like that?
Well, you see, this her era would be a little bit after the Vinegar Hill.
Uh-huh.
She came in and a place that you possibly heard a lot about, and you saw it on national television, was Margarita's.
Uh-huh.
They ran this boarding house down near the Sino Railroad, down in the Guard Street area,
uh-huh.
right? And when they tore it down, it found out what
was
uh-huh.
All right, well, then Miss Jenny came along and bought that house,
mm-hmm.
bought that old Margarita Sporting House property,
mm-hmm.
and she started her business in that, and she would rent rooms, she would cater and take care of that, you know, a lot of welfare people,
uh-huh.
well, anybody as far as that goes. And I think she started from that and did a choir. Well, when they took the Guard Street place, she moved down South Street.
Mm-hmm.
She has a great big house down there now next to the old freight warehouse there. You go down south, you know, where you get to the end of the parking lot if you cross
uh-huh.
is there. Well, you see her house on the right mm-hmm. just before you come to this warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's there, and she just sold a place in the Star Hill area
mm-hmm.
Just recently.
Mm-hmm.
That next to where the bakery is.
Mm-hmm.
That house next to that was hers. She just sold it to somebody.
Well, was she from the Charlottesville area? Did she move somewhere else? To move from someplace else to this area? Do you know?
Now I was in school with her son, so
uh-huh.
she's been around Charlottesville
for a while.
Uh-huh. Quite a long time, but a remarkable lady.
Uh-huh.
They said that Miss Blind Jenny can. They said she can see,
uh-huh.
but she has. She's done very well in buying property and,
uh-huh.
and renting rooms and whatnot in her property.
Uh-huh.
She runs a good house, good tight ship. You know,
uh-huh.
she doesn't play around with you. You don't get by.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I heard
she was strictly business.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no wonder no one knew anything, because they had the wrong name, Jenny. What's the last name? What's her whole name?
Well, nah.
You don't know?
She wasn't Anderson.
Miss
Jennifer Meyer sent uh-huh. that two or three times,
uh-huh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
But her son... he was his name was John Anderson, so she used to be an Anderson.
Oh, okay.
But to my knowledge, she's been married at least two or three times. She's small. Don't play that tape back. She's smart. She gets young, man.
Okay. Okay.
It can be on her. You can let her hear.
What stands out in your mind as being one of the most significant events, if ever, were there any significant, real significant events that occurred in Vinegar Hill area? Was there anything big that happened that you can think about during the time that you were there, or anything that you may have heard your parents speak of, or relatives, or anyone like that?
I'm ashamed to say
uh-huh.
that I don't know about any.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember about any.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding events mm-hmm. that really took place down there. Other than the fact that they wanted to declare quite a place for maybe the lottery crowd hanging out.
Uh-huh.
The police were always up there, and of course people going downtown, they would say they couldn't get on that side of the street.
I've heard people say something like that, all the people in the street loitering around.
They had a good time down there. That was the only place they had to go on it. It wasn't that bad, because I've been out there hanging around with them. It was pretty, as a youngster.
That
we didn't realize we were being that bad, but you have to have some outlet
for people.
And that was the only outlet that they had in Charlottesville for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of fun up there, I can tell you that.
Well, you think the blacks that lived in the Vinegar Hill area were close-knit? Were they divided, or just what?
At that time, I would say the people that used to frequent Vinegar Hill were fairly close-knit people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Charlottesville, to me, we as black have never done very much,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as togetherness and this successful businesses. What have you. Then too, I suppose, a population of 8,000 people, you don't expect 8,000 people to do very much, you know, like you would do in Richmond or
mm-hmm.
some of the larger areas. You know.
Mm-hmm. And when they moved, do you think that maybe they weren't as close-knit? Well, it would stand to reason that maybe not, because everybody was kind of scattered, or maybe the same feelings of closeness were there if they were further apart. You think that those feelings changed any when they were moved? Did blacks go further apart? because they were moved, or were they still tight knit?
I don't really know how to answer that. You know, I suppose it had very little bit to do with moving the Vernegy Hill, disrupting that area as far as the closeness.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we had as much closeness of tight knit as we did before.
Uh-huh. You
know? But like I'm saying again, there were a few people, and for the most part, teachers,
uh-huh,
and they ran in that circle, and the few business people that you had, possibly with home and with the teachers and this type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, your ministers always, they were in that that circle. So I suppose the big thing is, now I've been a fanatic about business, free enterprising, and what have you, but haven't been able to really get anything worthwhile going, you know. Mr. Fleming with Golden Key, I think he has done very well, you know, as far as in his real estate business.
Mm-hmm.
And Eugene Williams with his insurance business. Of course, we have had fairly good success when in Sean's field. That's about it, I suppose.
Do you think you have more chance with your business having moved out of Vinegar Hill, or do you think you would have done better had the move not had to be made?
Well, the thing that you always hate, that you hate to make excuses.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that I said, we had these businesses.
Uh-huh, that's true.
And once you are disrupted, you'll hardly ever get that business started up again.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
And it hadn't been any great effort by anybody that I know,
uh-huh,
to replace any of those businesses that were moved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this means to you, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, anything's fine. I was just wondering because other people we've spoken with have said that once the businesses on the hill were, in fact, moved, that not too many people have made any great efforts or had the money or the clientele to do the business they had done over on Vinegar Hill. And maybe in a lot of cases the incentive wasn't there, or people just didn't have what they had before.
Well, I know of a couple of them tried to relocate,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't have as good a locations in relocating as,
mm-hmm,
they had back.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the traffic pattern or anything else, so they ended up folding up, going out. One fellow that moved Urban Renewal in the Guard Street area took his next piece of property.
Okay.
So he finally, well, after being moved twice, I can't blame him, and he was getting to be older.
Mm-hmm.
So he never tried to relocate the third time.
Mm-hmm.
So then age has something to do with it too. Age and the money.
Mm-hmm.
Like at my age today, if I were disrupted, it's not likely that I'm gonna push too hard to to get back in the business and go in a lot of debt at high interest rates and what have you, you know.
Do you have sons maybe in your business with you?
No, I just have two daughters, you know. And, I'm worried. No, I'm trying to fool with this thing as minority participation, you know, minority content. And it's very hard because in excavating, if you've got enough money to buy decent equipment to go into the business on a scale that you would be proud of, you don't need to go into business at this age.
Mm-hmm.
Because one machine will cost you, like a front end loader, will cost you $75,000 to $80,000. So you'll need several of them, and you'd need track backhoe that's 150 odd thousand or better. So you would have a quarter, $500,000 tied up before you went around the corner. And at my age, it was foolish to even go as far as I went, you know. And it, but I'm still hanging in there with it. I don't know for how much longer it drives you up a wall.
Uh-huh.
Breakdowns and old junky equipment.
Is it basically in the Charlottesville area that you work with me for? Do you go outside the Charlottesville area?
Well, in the area of Charlottesville, Richmond, Staunton,
mm-hmm.
or Stanton, whichever way you want to call it. You're invited to go all over the whole state.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But we haven't too many minorities at this time. It's been too successful in the contracting yet. It's like I said, it's going to take time. Bombing has been very difficult. They tell you can go rent equipment. You know, it's mm-hmm. very difficult to rent it at a price that you're going to make something off it after you rent it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of obstacles that I don't know what kind of help we're going to need to get this done. Going to need a good grandfather to really come and grab you by the hand and lead you on, you mm-hmm. know, to get you into these grain fields.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't had the experience and exposure, it's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. No, he's doing business. He might have a few more questions to ask you about your business if you don't mind. Go ahead and ask him. Yeah, I have one more question, and you go ahead and ask him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, my last question is, what leaders, if any, do you feel inside or the outside of the community helped a lot or had any influence with the community?
Well, I suppose a lot of your programs have certainly helped some. Pros and cons both. Can't really put my finger on any particular one, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're talking about community action.
Yeah, I was just wondering if there was one specific person that you thought helped people in the Vinegar Hill area a lot, being, you know, a black person specifically. Was there anyone that went out of their way to help the black community per se? People that you knew or went out of their way when perhaps the Vinegar Hill process was taking place, went out of their way to help people feel more comfortable or talk to them and help them understand, or was there just anyone that, you know, they don't have to be doctors or lawyers or anything, just people that may have helped the community?
You know, you don't like to, I suppose, a lot of people
uh-huh.
in their own way,
yeah.
you know, did things to help.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm careful about giving
names
to uh-huh. give people credit because I don't remember exactly who did what.
Uh-huh.
But they had two or three committees together.
Uh-huh.
That worked on the project and meetings, and Eugene Williams was possibly very outspoken.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of them by name. Ray Bell has always been a good heart community So I would think that those two particular.
Yeah, a little while ago, you were saying something about minorities in construction or something like that. Is that some sort of organization or?
Well, set up under AMBA, you know. And of course, the governor has appointed the fellow by the name of J.B. Harris. He's down Virginia State. And they are to assist and any federal monies that are being spent and assist that you as a minority will get your fair share of the action. We're supposed to get at least 10%, if I can see a little higher than that now, of any federal monies. I'm looking into this thing as a minority supply. I think that this would be more profitable than maybe what I'm doing now. The costly equipment that you have to have, and this thing you wouldn't have to have as much equipment to be a supply of pipe and what have you.
How long has this particular program been going on?
Oh my goodness, God.
This is the first time I've ever heard of this.
Well, I ought to give you some information. I don't have it here. It's over on 60. Where are you from?
Richmond.
Are you familiar with Metropolitan Business Bank?
Not too.
Alan Roots?
No, sir.
Well, Metropolitan Business League was formed about the same time on the Opportunity Minority Business Enterprise. Was set up. We tried to set up something similar to the Metropolitan Business League here to assist people in getting money, helping them with their management problems and what have you. But of course, we never could really get off the ground because the town was too small. So we worked directly with Metropolitan Business League in Richmond. And, so it's been in existence 8 years or better. Their office now is around the old Southern Aid building now on right around the corner from 2nd Street on. What is that, Lee or Marshall? Whichever one it is.
Behind Broad.
Right. I was in there a couple weeks ago. I took a little girl down there trying to help them to put a package together to get some money over up, up on Main Street.
You talking about you get the information from? Well, one quick question. These are pretty old chairs, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty old.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Did you have these when you were getting them?
The furniture and package got a whole lot. Except my older daughter. Did those two. And I have the rest of the furniture that goes to that that's downstairs. As far as we can trace that back from, she did a little research. That was, as you might notice being so low, that was done in French. As close as we can get furniture.
I don't know why.
You know why?
It just hit me as being, you know, like from the French culture. I don't know.
Because we might want to send the young man or bring the young man over to take a picture of this, if you don't mind. And when you do so, if you have the information, maybe you can get some of that for him about the business.
Well, it'll be all right.
Okay.
But I've got some other old family pieces. Down in the basement, over Lodge Kane, get down there to get to them. We've got it so junked up. We've been great junk sailors, you know.
Anything, we'd love photographs of anything you have.
And I've had in mind that I have dining room furniture down there that I want to set up. And I've got some old paneling and stuff that came out of another place mm-hmm. they took, was carving in over here on Preston Avenue. You've mm-hmm. possibly heard about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got some of the old material and I was fixing this room up, but I have worked on it now for about 5-6 years.
I'm just curious, do you know someone named William Kosciuszko from Richmond?
What, William who?
Kosciuszko. He's a contractor also.
That name sounds, I know the Davis brothers there. You know them, they might be a little older than I am. Mm-hmm. Who else? I knew the old man quite well, and he was an interesting old man that started the bus company. What did they call old Townsend? No. Townsend got it now, and this old man was going to kill Townsend because he's sick. Same stuff. Townsend stole it from him. What's the old man that the founder of the company? I can't call that old man name now. But he's a card. We went out to Dallas, Texas together, and we went to Chicago on NBA conventions, National Business League, and new old Chavis. Old Chavis is making money. In the trucking business.
I don't know.
He had a son that didn't have any toes or something that went to Virginia State and was a field goal kicker. They would have a ring up there.
And that's real familiar to me. I know who you're talking about. I didn't know the name, but
I think it's Chase, something like that. But this old man has done well with his business. Mm-hmm. Old man got plenty of money. He goes to these conventions and he rents a suite of every kind of whiskey you can name, and sky's the limit.
Yeah,
blue. Oh my goodness. He's a car. He was voted, got the Mantle Cover Year Award 2 or 3 times in Richmond. We'd go in there a lot when we were really trying to get something done. Mm-hmm. And they are meeting that now every other Thursday. With the contractors throughout the state, so I want to start going to that to see what they're doing, you know. And they're talking about possibly getting all of the contractors together as one group, one big corporation, to where you would be able to get more bonding, you know, powers together. To maybe go in instead of being a subcontractor, we go out to be a general contractor, take the job as a subordinate or senior contractor, and then sub it out to the little guys. Mm-hmm. That's where you make the money.
Getting back to Charlottesville, though, and the black businesses that were here doing the Vega Hill era, basically, what were their clientele? You know, basically, did black people support them?
Definitely back in that day.
Did any white people?
Now, the Indians had good white trade.
Probably students and stuff, right?
Students, and then Rich Street, mm-hmm. before Rich Street turned over.
Mm-hmm.
All along Main Street there, across from his store, there were homes all up along there, where McGregor Motors, mm-hmm. there were homes all up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of people lived in the area, you know. Then businesses started to come in and establish and buy them out. Of course, as it went along, I mean, it hurt his business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he had good, Henry Bell had these type of things where you sell, you know, takeout stuff. It was, clientele was both. Kenneth Allen was very successful. They displaced him down Guard Street. Alan Stone, have you interviewed him yet? He might be a real interesting person to talk to.
Alan Stone.
He's over on Roosevelt Drive now.
You have a barbershop?
Across the street from the barbershop.
Okay.
I
heard about Pee-wee and the barbershop. That's
right. Right. He's over.
That's all.
He has been a very successful merchant.
Mm-hmm. Alan Stone. Would you say that most of the black businesses were family orientated, or I know they weren't really corporations, you know, as we know, but were they I don't care, no energy's family was like something his father started passing. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of them like that family handed down from generation to generation. Or did you find a whole lot of people just trying to get into this, trying to get into a business?
Well, I sort of gave you the rundown a minute ago now.
Right.
Red High School started its own cleaning salesman business. And of course, McGinnis did too. I mean, it wasn't a hand-me-down thing started by a parent. The restaurants, for the most part, were the same. You know, they, a fella came up and he started a restaurant from scratch, you know. So then if one fella would go out, another one would come in and take the place or lease it or what have you.
Right.
But most of them, no, they weren't hand-me-downs or family businesses.
Would you say they were most successful doing like Vinegar Hills Peak? You said the peak was like around 30s or 40s?
Yeah, well, most of the people that I know that were there, they were good livers, you know. They Carl Tunsler died and left a nice little estate from his business, as I stated earlier. Who else made the well? The Coles have done fairly well. He's in the contracting business. Well, I didn't name the Arnett brothers. They have been builders in recent times, you know, after the war years, you know. And Will did very well in building around here. Because we're getting away from Vinegar Hill, but you're talking about businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz Goins was another builder that did a lot of building around here also. I already told you about Kenneth Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Go by and see him.
Mm-hmm.
He can give you something. Henry Bell.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that had the retail business there on Vinegar Hill. He's over on Fifth Street now. But when they moved him, they really, you know, he hadn't been too successful over there because mm-hmm. he hadn't got the traffic, you know, mm-hmm. that he had on.
So how willing were banks and other financial institutions to help the black businesses, or were they?
Well, you know, you had a rough time getting money back in those days, and you know, right after the hard times, you know, back in the 30s, 29, 30. And then after the war years, when things got better, you know, around that time, they could get a little money. We had some pretty good old bankers downtown, a fellow by the name of Bird and Robinson. But banking has been like, and still is the same way, that if you don't have collateral, you just can't get money, you know. I was talking to a little banker this past week, and he's vice president, and he was saying that if he could find something else to go into, he would get out of the banking business. He said, because they down there ain't lending no money to people that need it. And only way you can get money is that, you know, you got velvet collateral or security, whatever you want to call it. You know. Almost have to have the amount of money you want to borrow now, you almost have to have it in the bank to get it. So it
makes you wonder why you want to borrow something.
Right. So this is reason, and your SBA, as you know how that operates, it's participating banks, and you pay the going rate of interest. And I have, with the meetings that I go to SBA and all of the do-gooders that are going to help the little fella in business, if you're going to charge a man the going interest rate, ain't no way in the world for him to make it, you know. And I tell them all the time, you shouldn't charge them over 3% at that. When I was paying 4.5% interest money, I was paying more on interest than I was on principal. You know, way back then. And now you're talking about prime 20 issue, you can forget it.
It's hard to start a business.
Well, you go out here, you might look up and make a job for yourself, if you're lucky. But all right, now, if you're going to pay 20% interest, there's no business that can hardly expect to get more than 20% profit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying 20% interest, you're getting the bank all the profit.
That's 20% a year. In 5 years, you would have, you know, you would have paid twice.
So, is it a game they play with you? You know, the old saying, the rich get rich and the poor get poor. Mm-hmm. You know, that will always exist. I don't care whether you're black or white. If you're poor,
that's true.
You're sort of in bad shape.
You
know.
Have to have something to get you with.
They stay up at night trying to figure out the next thing while we sleep. They're going to figure out the next deal where they're going to get all our money.
You know. More or less in general, Mayor, this last question. How do you feel about the destruction of Nigger Hero that says it affects black businesses? We more or less, we've talked about it a lot already, but so like in summation, do you think that it was positive? Were there some positive and some negative effects to it, but would you say which outweighs the most?
Well, really, I'm not a good fellow to even ask that question because it has been a sort of sore spot with me, is the taking of that property and the only black businesses that you really have, and not really going all out to help to at least establish or relocate it one for one. In other words, if they took 10 businesses, I think if they'd have really been doing a good job, they would have made a great effort to help get 10 more folks back in there.
Of course.
Yeah. So then another thing that it has annoyed me is the fact that they never came back to my knowledge and offered any of that property back to blacks. When they were taking it, they said they would. When urban renewal was taken to clean it up, they said they would offer some of the property back to you. You know, if you want to open a business.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to take a fellow by the hand and sort of lead him on, you know. I don't think any of that was done to show good intent. I worked real hard trying to maybe get the McDonald's down there as to be, I was serving on the housing authority at that time. And I was trying everything that I knew to maybe get it so we could have, that would be a black McDonald's. But the franchise was so high, well now it was almost impossible to raise the money to get it. So as I said, I hate to see the blacks put out that property and it looks like they're totally out of it now, and I don't feel that they paid fair prices for a lot of the property. Maybe some people got fair prices. And then to let it sit there and mm-hmm. show you that they didn't have a plan, and it's pretty close to true,
mm-hmm.
that the thing that annoyed them, they didn't like Vinegar Hill sitting in the middle of the downtown business of the University of Virginia. So they said, this is the time to use this urban renewal money to get these people out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the way they were thinking back then. And then for that land, because if they had a plan, it would have been developed by now.
Mm-hmm.
So they, to me, that plan, it wasn't planned too well either. Because it's still on the great portion of the land is still sitting there undeveloped. And they're trying to figure out a way to get a convention center or what, you know, in there. So I suppose that'll sum it up about as well as I can sum it up, you know. And then again, I say I'm not, you know, because I don't have a real good feeling about it, and I'm not really a good person to ask about.
Well, we didn't expect to get a whole lot of good feelings about it, you know, because actually after we